Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to meet in the middle of the week, especially this week, an unusual week for us. We pray that you would come and meet with us. We thank you for safely coming here. We thank you for your kind dealings with us day by day. We do pray that you would open your word to us, that you grant us prayer, that you would keep us this evening and in the midst of this, again, unusual week at the end of the year, in Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 119. Look at least as a specimen, the 37th verse of Psalm 119, verse 37. Just the one verse here. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. The word revive there is, you could translate that just give me life. Give me life. The believer has a need for new beginnings. The believer has been given new life, and we think that, well, everything is fine and in some sense steady state. Following that, that is not the case. If you've read Pilgrim's Progress, one of the first things that a Christian finds following the Wicket Gate is he found that there was this hill difficulty that he had to climb, and he had great difficulty climbing a hill difficulty, and he fell asleep on the way up, had his assurance taken from him on that hill, and had all kinds of difficulty. He had difficulty coming down from that hill, met Satan on the way. Following the coming down from the hill. So the Christian life is certainly not steady state. And in fact, there are numerous references to this request for reviving, both in Psalm 119 and elsewhere in the Scripture. Often the believer has a need, and it can be expressed as a need for a reviving, a giving of new life. The believer's circumstances may be overwhelming, and so here we are at the end of a year. With a new year about to begin, potentially new circumstances in our lives of a new year. And so it seemed like it would be useful for us to consider the need for new beginnings in a new year. New circumstances may seem like they're going to be straight line, but they may be overwhelming. Solomon comes into his time as king. The kingdom was in hand, if you will. There was a calm, a steady transition from his father, and yet he found the transition to be overwhelming, and so he was asking in a, I wouldn't say a desperate mode, but certainly an extremely serious mode, similar to what we read here in Psalm 119, for wisdom from God to be able to move forward. So there is a need that believers have to be able to move forward in their circumstances in life, in physical and spiritual and emotional situations. The world and the flesh and the devil comprise barriers such that we see the need for these revivings as we see requested here in Psalm 119. So we have a need for new beginnings. We are not, we ought not to presume upon the past. We ought not to presume upon the future. And in fact, when we do get overwhelmed, it's often because we have presumed that things would be fine. Secondly, we see here in Psalm 119 that there is an earnest request for that which would seem to be supernatural, and clearly it is. Only God can give a reviving of this sort. If he has given new life initially, if he's given life from the dead, then he can give that which is needed, though there is a sense of needing something like that in the present. Our spiritual lives are characterized by a sense of need. And if we don't have that sense of need, then we need to have a sense of need. We find that throughout the scripture, and certainly we see it here characterizing the believer in Psalm 119. So only God can give this renewal, this new beginning, which he gives in a spiritual fashion. Now, one thing that we notice from this example, I'm about to give more of them from Psalm 119 and elsewhere, is that these things come in the way of prayer. This statement here in Psalm 119, verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. That's a direct request of God Almighty. This is not just a statement into the air. It's not a general statement of need. It certainly is that. But it is a direct request. It's a direct request that denotes the nature of the need, the need for a supernatural intervention, if you will, and an actual turning to God for the need, not somehow I'll go along here, I'll muddle my way through because I have been redeemed and regenerated. Those are true, but we have a continuing need. These needs can be seen both corporately and individually. I think that I was reading Jeremy Walker's prayer letter today from Maidenbauer, and he was commenting that there is a general sluggishness, he said, in churches and between churches because of COVID. And I think that's very true. There's a sense of isolation. There's a sense of we're just kind of here. And this notion that we have in Psalm 119 is true for us corporately as well. If there's a sluggishness, the sense of requesting reviving comes corporately as well. We see that in Psalm 80 and Psalm 85. We have this same direct request. Psalm 80 verse 18 says, revive us. This is not individual any longer. as Psalm 119 is all individual. But here in Psalm 80 and 85, it's corporate. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Psalm 85, verse 6. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? So there, the sense of I don't have that which I need is corporate as well as individual, and the solution is similar, and that is looking to, asking for that which I cannot provide for myself, for ourselves, and that is God's enlivening. The one who has given life individually, who has given life to his church and his son, does it as a corporate thing as well. That's first of all. And then secondly, individually, there is certainly a spiritual lethargy. We have a sleeping child. And as I mentioned, a Christian fell asleep on his way up a hill difficulty. He just got tired. He said, well, I just need to sleep just a little bit. And that's the sense always that we have. Well, just a little sleep. And in waking up from the sleep, there is this, what do I do now? You can't do anything while you're asleep, obviously. But the sense of, I'm just not where I ought to be. What do we do about it? Well, we can redouble our efforts in the means of grace. Certainly, however, what we're seeing here is a direct application to the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 25. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Now, Psalm 119, if you read through the whole psalm, is not the psalm of the laggard. It's not the psalm of the inexperienced Christian who's just kind of all over the place and doesn't know anything or who he is or where he is. This is a psalm of the experienced Christian. The experienced Christian is the one who knows his need. We should read some of John Newton's letters. They sound exactly like this. At times, not all the time, but at times. I'm in, you know, write a fellow pastor, I'm in great need, pray for me. Psalm 119, verse 40. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. So it's not that there is a losing sight of who Christ is or what he's done, but it's that I'm flagging. I have need of brightening in the use of those things, in the ability to appropriate them to myself. So spiritual lethargy is one. Secondly, there's spiritual warfare. It's not that I'm dull, but that I'm in the middle of the fight. As Christian comes down the hill of difficulty, he is met by Apollyon. And this verse that I began with, it would certainly be of that sort. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. This is the flashing of the sword of spiritual warfare. I know my enemy here. I'm asking for help in the middle of the battle. Revive me, this verse 88, revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. I'm headed there, but I'm undergoing strictures. And then last affliction, Psalm 119:107. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. This is a pressing down from whatever source, providence, even Satan. I have been afflicted. It's right to use means. It's right to look directly to the Lord. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians doesn't even say that he used means. He said that he went directly to the Lord Jesus. So, at the end of the year, in new situations, in the middle of our situations, it's useful for us to be reminded that the Lord Jesus has supernatural intervention for us, that we do have real need and that he has a real means for us. Let's close this time in prayer.